Welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 346. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty, crusty cohorts, and in your case, Mug, that's very apt. Eric the Great, Rakeman the Bold, and of course, the Frosty One himself, the Mug. What's up, guys?
I'm calling you from the moon!
Break's internet service is not working very well today.
Don't play the DuckTales song.
Yeah, I know. DuckTales, woo!
No, the moon song from the game.
Yeah, exactly. Gripper's in chat. What's up, Gripper? Nice to see Gripper in chat. What have you guys been up to? How's this week been? Mug, how was your week, man?
The week as a whole has been rather shitty, but yeah, that's for reasons I can't really go into.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what this show is for, man. At least at the end of the week, you have a capper to hopefully bring brightness to your day.
I did go and see Terminator Genesis this afternoon.
I saw it too. No, it's not awful. I'll tell you the reason why it's not. I know Mug will probably say it's awful, but it's
a lot of people just said it was boring, mostly just dreadfully boring.
I actually kind of liked it. I'll go into detail later, but
let's yeah. Okay. I'll see it on because I'm not sure I want to pay more than $5.75 for it.
What I've heard is it starts out slow, but it actually gets good when, of all people, Arnold shows up.
Arnold shows up and ends up weak.
No, actually, I would say it. We'll go into detail on it later.
Yeah, I got a review on that too. I didn't put it in the doc, but I saw it as well, Mug, so we can, you know, talk about that when we get around to it. But
also, should I review the whole of Inuyasha or just the final act parts?
I have no idea what's appropriate on that, Eric.
It's been a while since I've seen the original. I can talk about it briefly at least.
All right. Well, let's start. Go ahead. What?
No, I think he has to talk about the early parts to explain the final act.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the news, Eric. Start with the news.
Start from the news. The first one is not Silicon Raw. It's Gamatsu.
Oh, wow.
Seventh Dragon 3, code VFD, announced for 3DS.
What is this, Eric? Tell us about Dragon.
Sega has announced Seventh Dragon 3, code VFD for 3DS, latest entry in its RPG series, due out October 15th in Japan for 6,469 yen.
Hmm.
It's about 70 bucks, I think.
Yeah.
So character design is being handled by Shiro Miwa. Yuzo Koshiro is the sound composer, like he has been from the beginning. And Sasuke UK is handling the theme song.
Hmm.
All right. Some more details are expected during a Nico Nico live stream on July 4th, tomorrow, at 7 p.m. Japan time.
Yeah. So
in, like, I don't know, about, like, 7 hours maybe from now.
Yeah, you going to watch that, Eric? Or you probably...
Yeah, because it's all going to be in Japanese anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, hopefully...
This means that Atlas will publish it because Sega owns the property and Sega could make them translate it for them because, you know, Sega won't do anything themselves anymore.
Yeah, that's a shame. Sega should be doing stuff like that, you know.
And it's on a console that actually is selling reasonably well.
Yeah.
Unlike Seventh Dragon, which was selling at a time that the DS was winding down, and the sequels came out on PSP, which was never that popular to begin with.
Yeah.
At least in the US.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get an announcement soon on this coming to North America. That'd be really cool. You do not have access to anything, so how about you, Mug? Read the next story, please.
All right. This one coming to us from the mighty Laser Ionic.
Yeah.
Grand Kingdom will be released in Japan this October for PS4 and Vita. Grand Kingdom, Spike Chunsoft's upcoming tactical RPG that looks like Grand Knight's History, but with more strategic elements and action to its turn-based battles, will be released in Japan this October, according to the latest issue of Famitsu Magazine. The PlayStation 4 version will cost 6,980 yen plus tax, and 6,480 yen plus tax for the PlayStation Vita version. Pre-orders will include a mini album with the game's BGM in it, and there will be a set of limited unit called Noble limited units, maybe, called Noble, with a weapon, armor, and accessory as a first print bonus. It will be released in Japan on October 22nd for PlayStation 4 and Vita.
Well, maybe it is a single unit. Maybe, like,
maybe yeah, I was like gonna a say, special yeah, maybe, like,
character.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe.
I guess. Yay. More goodness from Japan. You know, Japan gets all the cool shit, or at least most of the cool shit. I know something that we're getting here. This is coming to us live from Arnocules. Final Fantasy 6, 7, and 10 songs played by the London Symphony Orchestra. Oh, boy. So not
that does here. Not mean here.
I know. That's what I just saw that. So not here in London. There we go.
But it is Blu-ray, so
yeah. No.
We can get it here.
This is probably still going to be conducted in Japan. They're just going to use London Symphony Orchestra to do the music.
Huh.
Basically outsourcing.
All right. Square Enix announced that they'll be releasing a Blu-ray disc, which hopefully will be available here, featuring orchestrated songs from Final Fantasy VI, VII, X, titled Final Symphony, music from Final Fantasy VI, VII, and X.
Where's so 9?
I know. 9 never gets any love,
nine,
man.
9 and 8, they're missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and personally, I thought of the PlayStation iterations, I thought 8 had the best music.
Really? I thought 9 had pretty good music, too. I don't know. They're all comparable. They all have great music in one form or another. Second disc bundle with the Blu-ray includes MP3 files, so fans can take the classy arrangements anywhere they go.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's
no. Nice. What they'll do is they'll do another one. They'll have 5, 7, or 9, and 8.
Although, can't you take like any CD and make it into an MP3? Like that's pretty easy.
A CD, yes. If it's a Blu-ray, then that's a little more difficult.
Mm. Okay, I see. It can still be done, though. I've done that.
I was going to say, there are pirates that have figured that out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's there are ways of doing it.
You can make a Blu-ray a data disc, but putting other stuff on it, too, it's kind of more difficult.
Yeah.
Gripper says, so it's here. What is here? I don't. Oh, yeah. He's talking about the London Symphony Orchestra. No. Unfortunately, like what Eric was saying, it's probably in Japan, but they probably brought the London Symphony Orchestra there. I don't know how that worked, if they did in London or Japan, whatever. But there's some cool music.
No, wait. It says it was done in recording was done in Abbey Road Studios.
Oh, so it was there.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's really cool. Too bad they didn't
have it. It's a product that's not being sold in Europe and only in Japan. Yeah, still,
it's probably a lot cheaper than trying to fly out the entire London Symphony Orchestra to Japan.
Well, I've seen them do shit like that before. Like yeah.
The Final Fantasy VI's soundtrack was recorded in the same studio as the Beatles.
Yep, absolutely. That's an important band, man. The Beatles. I'm not a big fan of the Beatles, but I understand their importance. And Gripper's probably going to kill me.
Of course you're not a big fan of the Beatles. You have no eardrums. They apparently don't work.
Get out of here. Your favorite's Ringo Starr. You dressed up as Ringo Starr for Halloween. So.
What's wrong with Ringo, huh?
What's wrong with Ringo? What's right with Ringo should be the question. Ringo sucks. He's the worst. All right.
Anyways, this album is called Final Symphony.
Yeah, I mentioned that, Eric. All right,
Ringo is one of the most accomplished drummers in the world.
Oh, my God. I can't stand Ringo Starr.
I like Ringo.
He's almost a savant when it comes to drums.
Of the conductors for Thomas the Tank Engine.
It's not hard to become very proficient at drums. I mean, I used to play drums, so it's not like
it's hard to be the kind of person where you can listen to something and then immediately play it.
No, that Ringo Starr's overrated, man.
He's just overrated.
All right, let's move on.
Said the guy who's like, oh, I don't really care much for the Beatles. Your opinion isn't valid.
This guy that was talking about Elvis like he was God last week.
Oh, get out of here. Don't make me hang up on you, Blake, because it's hard.
No, making you do anything. That's called blaming the victim.
Get out of here. Overrated. You're exiled. You're all exiled.
Elvis is very overrated.
Don't make me hit you, bitch. Get that goddamn
walking off this show, man. Walking off.
Why you always got to make me hit you?
I'm walking off. All right,
Frank's Uncle Burnin' Love.
Get out of here. All right, Eric, you son of a bitch, Eric. I should hang up on you. Oh. Next news story, Eric.
Next story from Silicon Booby.
All right.
I like that, Eric. It's nice.
I can't see it. Out there.
What do you mean you can't see it? Anyways, that says, from Neptunia to undead darlings, no cure for love. Mr. Tired Media, a studio founded in 2014 by former NISA America employees Ryan Phillips and Neptunia editor Nick Dorr, launched a Kickstarter this morning for their new Dungeon Crawler meets visual novel hybrid, Undead Darlings, No Cure for Love.
I forgot
what we made up for Tilde's. So
I don't think we had one for Tilde's.
I got one.
A snort, like when you're blowing. Like,
no, I was going to say a sneeze, like chew. You know,
I don't think I could do that on the command.
Yeah.
I'll just put one thumb up to one's nostril and then...
Oh, gross. Get out of here, mug.
That would piss me out, and that would probably affect my sinuses.
Go ahead, Eric. Continue on.
Anyways, I know the snorting affect my sinuses. But anyways, it says it takes place in a post-apocalyptic world and follows the misadventures of one Reginald Reggie Happenstance. I think they typed the name wrong there. But saddled with the responsibility of being the son of the scientist who developed a cure for plague, converting people into zombies. Reggie's told he must find a way to mass produce his father's cure by a group of girls who have only half turned into zombies. Being immune to the plague, the undead girls agree to aid Reggie in his quest, but only under the condition that he carries all their loot.
Huh. That's pretty funny. That's a good
piece of baggage claim.
The zombie and what happened to him as human.
Yeah. That's undead important. Darlings. This looks good, man. Like I'm interested in the concept.
If they're only half zombies, I bet they're not going to munch on his brain. So yeah. I guess that's a good thing.
Well, maybe
proper
it's like,
zombies eat flesh, not brains.
Yeah. Well, it depends. It depends if you're in the Return of the Living.
Brains are flesh.
What if only her bottom half is zombie? There's nothing that can eat a brain there.
Flesh is technically muscle tissue and skin.
Mm. Well,
her
like I said,
brain.
It depends on what world.
So if you're half zombie, does that mean you're alive? Your skin's pale.
You know what this reminds me of?
Not running.
There's a series called I, Zombie that I haven't seen, but what I know of it is this is kind of reminding me of it, like a half zombie hybrid type thing.
There's only one proper type of zombie, and those are the Romero zombies.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here, Mug.
If you have zombies that talk and eat brains, they suck. And
no,
sounds
they
like it's
going to
be a traditional dungeon crawler, probably in the style of like Etrian Odyssey in the original Persona.
Yeah,
say what you want about The Walking Dead. They do really fucking good zombies.
Yeah, they do. I like The Walking Dead.
It says, if the project is funded, Undead Darlings No Cure for Love will launch on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation Vita on May 2016.
The Walking Dead has Romero-type zombies, so they're all right. Plus, it has Greg Nicotero doing, Nicotero and Berger doing the effects on it. So, yeah, it's going to look good. Mm.
I don't mind. I like zombies in general. I mean, I did a show about zombies for, you know what, 2-3 years. So
I like that he makes them take a class on it. Like, they have to pass his class as far as, like, walking properly and sounding properly before they're even allowed to put on makeup.
Yeah. No, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I don't mind.
I do a good zombie moan.
Yeah. Nicotero's great. There's no question. Yeah. He's actually a really good director too. He's directed some of the great.
He's like, you know, he's the protege of one of my all-time favorites, you know, makeup artists, and Tom Savini.
Savini is fantastic as well.
What's your favorite zombie line?
Zombie line?
Yeah, my favorite zombie line is No, not brains, you dipshit.
No, I like that. That's the Return of the Living Dead. That's the mud movie, zombie.
Those movies sucked.
Oh, it did not suck. Get out of here. Return.
Awful.
You're awful. You're awful. You're
so fucking cheesy.
Son of a bitch.
Mine's the diary from Resident Evil where you find an itchy face. Scott ugly, so killed him. Hmm. Itchy taste.
Boy. But anyway,
it's not really
this,
a line per se, but it's a line of dialogue.
This sounds interesting.
I know what you're talking about. It's like one of those notebooks you find, right?
I hate, hate
itchy tasty. Yes,
I hate Kickstarter, but I hope this gets funded and they clean it up and it does good because I'd be interested in playing this. I'd buy it. I would. I mean, I've always talked.
Like, it looks like the assets they're using are basically just a tech demo for concept rather than actual what the game will look like.
Yeah, it's got a long ways to go, but hopefully they can get that in order. All right, Mug, let's go with the next story.
All right. This time, coming to us live from Ironic Sale, Mighty No. 9 developer Concept are teaming up with Animation Studio – hang on. Animation Studio, and Studio is part of the name, so it's Animation Studio, Studio 4 degrees Celsius, on a project entitled Red Ash. Details on the project are scarce for now, but more is expected to be announced July 4th at Anime Expo. Until then, here's a teaser, which you can watch if you go to Silicon Era.
And Studio 4 degrees Celsius, they did work on the new Thundercats show, which unfortunately got canceled because Cartoon Network is a bunch of morons.
I don't know. I think if you have a small window of when things are hot, maybe they miss that window. So,
Cartoon Network sucks. They don't know what they're doing.
They wanna cater to like a certain audience, and they're releasing all these weird cartoons, which I like.
Cartoon Network's the reason that Justice League Unlimited got canned and Young Justice got canned, and
yeah.
In favor of shows like Uncle Grandpa.
Yeah.
All right. Our next.
They also canceled that Symbionic Titan because apparently it wasn't toyetic enough for them.
Boy.
They wanted a toy line.
Yeah. Whatevs. Our next story.
But this game is basically aping Legends. This is basically his Mighty No. Legends.
Our next story.
And the guy in this video here, he looks exactly like Teasel Bond from that game.
Our next story from Coinarias is Nippon Ichi's
from Portfolio?
Yeah, sort of. It's just a, you know, what do you call that when you rearrange a letter? Like kind of what Mug's doing.
An anagram.
Yeah. Anagram, yeah. Nippon Ichi's new Spooky Night exploring game is actually kind of cute. It looks kind of cool. They recently teased a new game called Night Watch, which came with a pretty eerie-looking teaser trailer. Official website shows its first look at the game and how it plays. Young girl took her pet out for a walk. However, due to her carelessness, the dog met with an accident and disappeared. After seeing the young girl come home with an empty leash, her older sister decided to run out and look for the dog. The protagonist left the house later, but what she experienced was the night of the town, a completely different and eerie night, unlike anything seen during the day. Young girl is the unnamed protagonist of Night Watch. She'll go looking for a lost dog and sister during the night in town. Both the pet dog and the older sister are lost, so the young girl will have to summon the courage to find them on her own. In Night Watch, you'll need to explore around the eerie night of town in order to find the older sister and pet dog. With everything shrouded in darkness, there are many things you won't be able to distinguish without looking at it with a flashlight. You know how the roads and outdoors can look different while you're walking around or driving at night? Night Watch is basically that, but if things were a little more calm and eerie. I've experienced this before. Like, there have been areas that I've been completely familiar with during the day, and I didn't think twice about it here around
totally
town.
Dead and dark town where you're in buttfuck Egypt or whatever.
Yeah, but during night, things take on a different light. It is kind of jarring.
I wonder if monsters are actually going to show up at some point.
I wonder if buttfuck Egypt is in Google Maps.
Night Watch.
At the tail end of the Sphinx.
Yeah. Night Watch will release in Japan on October 29th for the PlayStation Vita. So hopefully we'll get that here. It looks – conceptually, it's cool. You know,
I like the idea that ISA is doing a lot of smaller indie-like projects.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of them haven't worked out. Some of them have.
Yeah. All right, Mug, next story, please.
Well, I have an important question about that last game. I kind of need to know if you save the dog in the end, because I don't want to play the game and then not save the dog, you know?
I'm sure that's kind of the whole gist of the game.
If it's like a whole depressing ending and stuff like that, and you know,
yeah, like
no, this is Japan. This isn't Nier was made more of a Western style, so it's not like the West, where the West wants to do everything tragic.
Yeah. Well, what Brake is saying, he doesn't want the end to be like, where you find out that the dog and sister are dead and they show up in ghost form or something, all depressing. And
yeah. Well, this is Japan. More like it that they've been mutated into one being or something.
Yeah, something like that.
This is true.
Now, the game gets cute. I don't think they go that route.
Yeah. All right, Mug.
All right. Coming to us live from a Rice Loins. Tales of Zestfully Clean.
I
want to
know more about Rice Loins. Don't tell me about the story. I want to know more about Rice Loins.
Yeah. It's the genitalia of rice.
In other words, mugs.
Genitalia. Actually, that reminds me of Firefly Diaries. That game looked cute, but apparently has a much deeper and very dark story. That's really fucked up if you think about it. But I don't think they'll do that again, though, for this, though.
All right. Coming to us live from a Rice Loins. Tales of Zestfully Clean Collector's Edition announced for Europe. Bandai Namco have announced a Tales of Zestfully Clean Collector's Edition for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 in Europe. Here's what the Collector's Edition will include. Chibi-kun Kara figures. Lady of the Lake Sanctuary cloth artwork. Strange women lying in ponds distributing swords. No basis for a system of government. Mm-hmm. A hardback art book. A 30-minute anime DVD. Selected soundtrack from the game. Exclusive Norman Bates metal case. Collector's edition and collector's edition box. Buying the game at launch will allow one to avail. Bad grammar. Allow you to avail yourself of Tales of Zestfully Clean's infamous Alicia Story DLC chapter free of cost.
Zestfully Clean. Oh, it wasn't that. Never mind.
As far as packages go, that one doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah,
it's got a DVD with it, and
apparently it's the only way you'll be able to get the anime DVD for the moment.
And it'll show up on torrent sites and YouTube in no time.
I was going to say it'll be on eBay in a couple weeks.
But this LE is also coming to North America. They didn't do an update, but it's apparently happening.
There's all these images and showing it are in L in English. But anyway, let me continue.
But they have a PEGI rating here, so that's for the Europe.
How dare you? News story.
Yeah. Mm. Additionally, ordering the game from Namco's VIP corner will net you exclusive Mystic Art DLC for Mikleo and Lila and Alicia. Excuse me. Both of these bonuses will be available for consoles as well as PC. Moving along, it wouldn't be a pre-order campaign without complicated retailer bonuses. Namco states, through pre-ordering at participating retailers and participating countries as well as digital stores, you can get classic Tales costumes and weapon skins. Weapon skins are like the most ridiculous DLC
ever. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I totally
agree. I don't like the idea of buying Mystic Arts either.
In addition to the aforementioned costumes and weapon skins, you also get 4 badges by pre-ordering at participating retailers in participating countries, as well as digital stores. The best offer, however, is for those that pre-purchase Tales of Zestfully Clean on Steam. While there's no PC Collector's Edition, the Steam pre-purchase campaign will offer a copy of Tales of Symphonia HD on PC to all Zestfully Clean pre-purchasers once the number of pre-purchases hits a certain milestone.
Next story. We don't really need to talk about it now.
Yeah, I know. Tales of Zestfully Clean will be released in Europe on October 16th for PC, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation 4. North American Collector's Edition details should be coming shortly.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it will be half as cool as these.
No, it's the same, I think.
You know, you're not fully clean unless your Tales of Zestfully Clean.
All right, that leads us right into this next story from Calorie Inns. Tales of Symphonia HD announced for PC. Tales of Symphonia HD is coming to PC. Namco Bandai have announced the PC release will be based off the HD version released last year and be available sometime in 2016. We already talked about Zestfully Clean. Once the number of pre-purchases reaches a certain number, bonus content will be made available for all users. Final step of the campaign is a free copy, which we already talked about, Tales of Symphonia HD, for all the pre-purchase Zestiria. So stay tuned on that. There you go.
So apparently it's just Tales of Symphonia and not Symphonia Dawn of the New World, which is actually not a good game and you shouldn't play it anyway. Mm-hmm. But I hope that they fix the frame rate because basically what they did is they copy-pasted directly the PS2 version's code, and the PS2 version had terrible frame rate, so they didn't bother fixing it up.
Yeah. All right, Eric, what's our next story?
The next story is from Gematsu again. It says Skullgirls dev announces action RPG Indivisible. This Lab Zero Games developer Skullgirls has announced Indivisible, a new action RPG inspired by classic titles like Valkyrie Profile and Super Metroid.
I'm interested immediately.
Says the game stars Anja, or Ajna, girl who sets out on a global spanning journey to discover the truth behind her mysterious powers.
Does she have a hot sister named Ganja? That's what I'm interested in.
Man, good lord. Anyways, she'll be joined by a variety of heroes and gain new abilities to traverse different environments and defeat enemies. And features a, quotes, deep story inspired by Southeast Asian and other world mythologies. 2D hand-drawn information and a soundtrack from Super Secret of Mana composer Hiroki Kikuta. You should have said Seiken Densetsu, because he didn't work on all the other Mana games.
His best music was in Sokaigi, which is crazy good.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Wyland just joined chat. What is up, Wyland?
It says a playable prototype and Indiegogo campaign are coming out around early September. So not using Kickstarter, they're using Indiegogo.
Oh, much different. I mean, big difference.
Yeah, well, the big difference to you. You only make money off the Kickstarter, right?
Get out of here, Brady.
The big difference is they get to take any money that they collect.
Yeah.
I think Frank's thing is he makes a big stink about Kickstarter because he gets, Kickstarter backs. And he's just trying to annoy people into donating to Kickstarter projects just to spite him, he actually makes money off of them.
I'm trying to annoy people to take action against these fucking developers so they can fucking make games the hard way like it's always been done.
Tradition is not a good reason to do anything.
I'm not saying that. Frank. I'm saying that this way of doing it is just BS to me. Like, this takes a lot of the hard work out of it. Like, I don't know. It's just nonsense. Like, the cream of the cream rise to the top.
What are you talking about? They're still doing the work, Frank. This is basically funding an indie musician.
Yeah, whatever.
It's
know what the concept is, but it's gone awry, man. It really has. But let's move on. What do we got next,
Eric? God, you sound like such a tard, Frank.
He sounds like an old man.
Bitter old man. Get off my lawn!
All right, coming to us live from Druid Octets. Don't step on my anagram.
Let's do things the old way, where we have to pay corrupt as fuck publishers who don't give a shit about the consumer.
Oh, get out of here, Eric.
There have been
so many examples of great fucking games that publishers have fucking financed. So don't give me that shit.
The way the game industry is now today, I would rather have something go through Kickstarter.
Oh, fuck that.
The problem there is, Frank, is that when a publisher finances a game, you are beholden to that publisher.
That's not necessarily true.
It is almost invariably true.
Look, Atlus has made great game after fucking great game.
And it's not like Lab Zero Games is doing what Bloodstained and Shenmue 3 are doing, where they actually do have publishers backing them, and they're only getting a portion to gauge interest.
Look, all I'm saying is if you like Kickstarter, you like it. If you don't support it. I hate it. I can't stand it.
And yet you can't stop talking about it.
No, you guys are the ones that bring it up. Every fucking story is about Kickstarter.
We didn't bring this up. I don't put the stories in there, but Kickstarter.
I'm reporting on you, so you're the one that has to make commentary, Frank.
What do you think we do on this podcast? Should you just talk about it and just straight up report, or do people like our opinions, Eric? I mean, there's a reason why people listen to this.
Yeah, but
show.
We already know your opinion.
So what?
You're beating a dead horse at this point.
No, I'm not. There's always interesting angles to attack this stupid bullshit. So continue on. What do we got, Mug?
Sadomasochistic necrobestiality. In other words, I wouldn't make a joke about it, but that would just be beating a dead horse.
Get out of here. Continue on, Mug.
Coming to us live from Druid Octets, as I was saying before. Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth comes to kick Pikachu's arse in 2016. Oh, Lordy, I can feel something growing inside of me, an urge buried deep for over 10 years now that must spring forth. Digimon was way better than Pokemon. Sure, the Pokemon games were great, and I love them dearly, but when you compare the anime, we all knew who really stood out on top, and it sure as fuck wasn't Ash Ketchum. Well, it looks like Digimon will be returning to Western consoles soon as well, with the announcement of a localization for Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth at Anime Expo 2015 by Bandai Namco, due for release in 2016 on the PlayStation 4 and digitally on the PlayStation Vita. The game.
Wait, so it says PlayStation 4, but I was under the impression that both the PS4 and Vita versions would be PSN only. So they're doing a retail version for PS4?
It doesn't say, but it's like it made a point of specifying that the PS Vita version would be digital. Mm-hmm. The game tells the story.
They don't want to put the cost in for the Vita.
Yeah, anyway.
Because people don't buy the stuff a lot.
The game tells the story of the near future, where the line between the real and digital worlds is blurred, and logging into cyberspace is part of everyday life. They say that as if it isn't what happens right now in 2015 already, but let's just roll with it. There's a very nondescriptive trailer up top for you too. Pretty, but it tells us pretty much jack shit about the game. There's been a bit of a Digimon resurgence of late, due in part to 2015 being the 15th anniversary of the franchise. We'll probably also hear more about the upcoming Digimon Adventure Tri anime at the expo, which sees the return of the original cast from the very first series. Consider me excited. I freaking love Digimon.
Yeah, good for you. I can't stand Digimon.
You know what? I have to disagree with the author of that tale. They can love Digimon all they want, but until there's Digiporn, Pokemon's number one.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain there already is.
Yeah, it's called Red Box, Red 2.
I was going to say, it's called Rule 34, dude.
Is that like American-made porn?
Well, I know there's Strokemon.
There's American-made Pokemon.
Yes, Strokemon. Yes, I know. No.
But I'm excited because I heard that this game's actually very good.
Mm. Well, good. All power to you, man. I mean, I just never got into Digimon. I barely play even any of the Pokemon games, and I know they're good. All right, Eric.
Just most of the other Digimon games are shit, but the last couple ones have been apparently good, but they've been locked in Japan.
I'm much more into Chim Pokemon.
Me too, man. I missed out on one of those figures in the South Park game, and it sucks because you can't go back and get them. There's like two or three that
you should get an achievement for getting all but one of them, and at the end of the game, it says, aha, you missed one.
Yeah, I know.
That would be
amazing.
That would have been amazing, man. All right, Eric, let's go.
They're just like, haha, you didn't catch them all.
Yeah, right. Right. Eric, last story, please.
Last one's from GoNintendo.com.
Oh.
It says, Ask 6PR, the secret is out, Zero Escape Volume 3 confirmed, coming to 3DS and Vita. Well,
didn't we just talk about this?
Nah, Zero Escape Volume 3.
Yeah, no. I thought we had a story about this, maybe like last week or week before or something. Anyways, go ahead.
I think we talked about how it was apparently not... the director was apparently not working on it anymore, but apparently that's incorrect. Hmm. Maybe they talked again and then they let him.
Yeah.
Or they're moving on ahead without him, and maybe he's basically dictating to them so they don't fuck everything up.
All right.
As an advisor of some kind. But this is many – I don't want to read the entire press release, but basically it's just – that it's just much, not much has been revealed. Other, it was just an announcement that was made during the Access panel at Anime Expo.
Yeah, so basically they're just making this game. Like, they're reaffirming that it's getting made, right?
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that North America's getting it first and Japan might not get it at all, because apparently it didn't sell all that well in Japan. It sold far better in the U.S. and
suck Europe. On that, Japan. Motherfuckers. All right, that's the news for today.
Why do you have to be a bully, Frank?
I don't know. they get everything, dude, before we get it. So we're getting something that they might not get. So how do you feel, Japan? Maybe I should take an
outstanding. I think it sucks when some region doesn't get a game.
I agree. I'm in agreement. I'm just being funny, Break.
Well, right. I don't know if they aren't, but U.S. getting a game first, even though it's being made by a Japanese developer, is interesting.
Yeah, that is. All right, I think that's news. Yep, that's news. Any discounts this week that anybody knows of? Homie discounts.
Did I say when it was coming out? It's vaguely summer 2016, so somewhere around there.
Break, did you have something to say?
The whatchamacallit games on Android are on sale again for 99 cents. The Kemco games, thank you. Oh. The Kemco games, several of them were on sale for 99 cents. Several more are on sale for 99 cents.
He said whatchamacallit. I thought they were candy bar games.
remember the Doritos Crash Course game.
Anything of note, Break, that you can remember off the top of your head or just go and look?
Soul of Deva, huh. I think.
All right.
I'd have to go into it and look. You know what? I think I can do that because I'm on my phone.
All right. Well, he's looking for that. Do you have a lulz, Eric?
Yeah. This one's from thegoodlordabove.com. Basically, this guy, he has a Facebook and a Twitter account, and he's basically calling himself God, and he's pretending to be the God that the God of Christianity should be, rather than the one that most people believe in.
Hmm.
This is about how homophobic pastor vows to fight gay marriage by giving it a try. Texas pastor Rick Scarborough, who vowed to set himself on fire if marriage equality happened and then didn't, said on Tuesday that he loves gay people and is just trying to save them from hell. Then Scarborough vowed to continue to fight gay marriage by giving it a try himself, which this is not how that works at all. You're either born gay or you're born not gay.
Right. So he's going to have sex.
Or you're born bisexual, in which case you – Or you're pansexual or whatever, which in case you're different there too.
So hold on a second. Is he going to have sex with this guy? Or that's what I want to know, man.
Mm-hmm. Part of you got, you have to have a honeymoon, don't you? You get married.
Yeah.
So no, what he needs to try is just not being a complete ass fuck, forgetting what he knows about gays, what his religion taught him, and just not being a piece of shit.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And see how he feels afterwards.
That's pretty funny.
Spending time with gay people, talking to them, learning how oppressed they are.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Like, these people never, like, really sit down with a gay person to find out what life is really like. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the minority problem.
He says here, in quotes, "I believe that most homosexuals in America are like most Christians. I just don't think they have a right to get married because this idea of marriage is very skewed."
Yeah.
It says, I set myself on fire, but then I realized that'd be very painful and I had to admit that I was a big wuss. And the fact that you know that there's no afterlife and you'd go to hell for that because God apparently doesn't like suicide.
Yeah. See, Freak 5 is in chat.
I suspect this is satire.
Yeah, I suspect it too, man.
The guy who set himself on fire? No, that was a real thing that happened.
The guy said – I know that he said he would, and I also know he backed out of it.
Of course.
But this whole thing
you're saying the quotation's a satire?
Yeah.
This article is satire.
Freak 5 says in his defense he could have sex with a guy to find out if he likes it. Well, there you go.
But I've heard people that have actually said stuff similar to this. So
yeah, see, Freak 5
– It's worth mentioning.
It's a parody article for sure, but it's just kind of funny. I like shit like that, but the people like this are just ridiculous, retarded. All right, you also have something
updated on the story. I want to know how the marriage goes.
That would be so funny if he actually went through it.
But it's the law section, so it's funny shit. So
yeah, it is. It's pretty funny.
Now in here it says quotes. It says, "Yes, I'll be having sex with my new husband. It's need to find out how to defeat gay marriage permanently. These folks in the business will probably say I've been a self-hating gay this whole time, which I haven't. Which is usually was a joke because lots of people that are apparently against gays turn out to be gay themselves."
Freak 5's my bitch says it was the website for God on Facebook. What was that?
I hope everything about that is real.
Yeah, I know it's not, but it's really funny. All right, what's his comment?
You should go follow God on Twitter.
Yeah. God on Twitter is really funny.
I think he's God Almighty on Twitter, and he's just God on Facebook.
Yeah. Freak 5's my bitch says, LOL, Frank, how did you know it was me? Come on, man. I mean, come on. Exiled, by the way.
In case you want background on Scarborough, he founded two anti-gay groups, Vision America and Tea Party Unity.
Oh, boy. Tea Party Unity.
And he also runs the Judeo-Christian Council for constitutional restoration.
I don't. That's
hilarious. Constitutional restoration. To me, like, it's as if it was broken before.
It's really funny to me. Like, this is the new minority thing, right? Like, back in the day when minorities were treated like this, they have to find a whipping boy, right? And in 2015, it's gays. You know what I mean? Like, it's just dumb. It doesn't work.
Or transgendered.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's just bad. Bad, 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 bad. All right, Weiland's updating his 7 Days to Die. They added bears, apparently. Sweet. All right.
Days to Die, does that have anything to do with the Trilby games? I can't remember.
I don't know. Ask Weiland. Weiland would know. Mm. All right. What else, Eric? Comment on the iOS app store you have here.
That's not me.
Oh, who's that?
I think someone had that a week ago and I accidentally deleted who it was.
All right, let's just delete that then. We'll move on. Any Twitter questions, Brake?
Did you want me to read off those games that are on sale?
Yeah, go ahead. Games on sale. What is it, a long list?
Okay, Kimco games on sale currently. Fortuna Magus.
Mm-hmm.
Chrome Wolf, Aeon Avenger, Revenant Saga, Illusion of Lefalcia, Destiny Fantasia, Cronus Arc, Infinite Dunamis, which Infinite Dumbass is what I'm going with, Grace of Latoil, something like that, Soul of Deva, Journey of Chrysia, Bonds of the Skies, Eclipse of Illusion, Shelterra, the Sky World. I think they do this just to aggravate me. Covenant of Solitude, Symphony of the Origin. I saw another one, Ask Divine Hearts.
Mm, right.
Ask Divine Hearts. I'm going with Ask Divine Hearts. Rust of Myth, Fanatic Earth, Dead Dragons, Seven Sacred Beasts, and Soul of Historica.
Hmm. All right, well, that's cool.
And there's some other games on stuff for like $1.99 and $2.99, but yeah, those were all 99 cents.
Ugh. Freak 5 is a weirdo. he's a weirdo. All right, questions.
Twitter questions, all right. Let's see here. 5 days ago, 6 days ago. Instead of binder, Freak 5 Chaos says, instead of binders full of women, Frank Branches has cave walls full of women. As porn collect.
I had to laugh at that. That's pretty funny.
And then Frank responds with, "Get off my lawn." to heavily influence the yes, he is old. The reason people compared Frank Branches to Leonardo DiCaprio is because they wished he had drowned.
Son of a
bitch. I don't remember comparing him to Leo. You guys remember that?
No, I remember it.
I don't remember that at all.
I remember.
Yeah, anyway, Freak 5 Cow says, and Real Wythics, dislocates for shoulder giving Frank birthday spankings all day.
Son of a bitch.
And she still didn't reach the number of birthdays Frank has had.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah. Freak 5 is exiled.
There's some back and forth with them in Wythics, and you can look at that on Twitter. Freak says, new episode of Stuff You Missed in History podcast, a brief history of harmonicas.
Oh, boy. Skip.
And that's it.
All right, that's it. He said that there was a Would You Rather. Freak 5 had a Would You Rather, but I don't know if we want to go over that.
It's probably more perverted stuff that I don't want to answer.
Maybe we'll do that later, break, if you can find it. But anyways, what have you been playing, Mug?
Pretty much the only thing I've been playing this week has just been the Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition.
Mm-hmm. All right. Still liking Devil May Cry 4, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's a good game.
All right. Break. What have you been playing?
Same old stuff. Kind of limited now though because I have no internet. So I don't know what I'll be playing this weekend.
Yeah.
Mostly Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
Wait, are you talking through your Android?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to. Doesn't have a choice. All right, Eric. What have you been playing, man?
I've been playing, let's see, Etrian Odyssey 2 Untold. I can actually say it now because they announced a demo for next week. And been playing Hyperdimension Neptunia Reaver 3. I finished that up over the weekend. The review's up on totallygn.com now. And my review of The Angry Video Game Nerd Adventures for the 3DS is up on Foster Bastard Gate as well. I also played Batman Arkham Knight, and I got to a point in the game where a glitch is preventing me from making progress.
Ooh,
I think I think the latest patch broke a part of the game.
Are you playing it on PC or PS4 or what?
PS4. It's the part where, I don't know if anybody's played it, but it's basically the part where you're in the subway and you have to use the ultra sonar to wake up a tree so that its roots can grow out of the ground so that they can get rid of the fear toxin.
You start
shooting tanks. As soon as it does that, it tries to auto-save it, and then it ends up in a loop, and then the game quickly crashes at that point.
Sometimes
the crash ends up turning off your PS4.
Ooh, not good. Yeah,
everything I hear about that game makes me glad I waited. I'm waiting for the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
Thankfully, my save data isn't destroyed, but I don't know if it's corrupted enough to the point where I'd have to start over because of that, because that kind of happened with my save file for the Oddworld New and Tasty.
Hmm.
No matter how fun a game is, if it crashes your system, it's a zero.
Yeah, know? I agree. I totally agree.
I don't know. I mean,
on a scale of 1 to 10, that's a zero.
No, that's
more rating. That's more of a rating on the QA team, in my opinion.
No, yeah. that's a zero for the game, period. Like, they should not let that. Like, they should immediately
patch that. It's not been released.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree, Brake.
The thing is, the game probably wasn't like that before, but now it is.
Dungeon said he's had a pretty problem-free experience through Arkham Knight, so good for you, Dungeon. That's cool.
Yeah, Dungeon, if you know what I'm talking about, could you possibly look up like forums for me to see if other people are seeing similar problems? I went to WB's website, and it was hard enough trying to find the forums for the page. Now, all I can really do is email
Eric,
Justin, which I did, and I have yet to hear an answer from him.
Eric, did you ask Wyland a question about 7 Days to Die? What was the question?
Is it based on the Trilby games?
Oh, there you go. There you go, Wyland.
I double checked Twitter and Freak Five Chaos. Sorry, I didn't get your Would You Rather.
Oh, I got it. Real quick, we'll do that next.
Oh, you sent it to Facebook?
No.
I'll say this one thing about Arkham Knight. I think my save issue is one reason why I wish the game had multiple save files instead of just auto-saving.
I agree with that, too.
That's a bad design decision. Also, cutscenes are unskippable.
Ooh, that's
thankfully,
not good either.
Thankfully, cutscenes don't last that long, but the fact that you can't skip in the first place is annoying.
Yeah, why
would you hate that?
If it's like the other ones, then you can't skip them on your first playthrough.
Oh, okay.
Wyland says,
I think you can skip cutscene that you might know. In this game, you can skip cutscenes if you want to on your first playthrough, but some of them you can't.
Dungeon Buster says he'll check that out for you.
It's very
while
selective
you're listening.
When it does let you.
Dungeon Buster says he'll check that out for you, Eric, while he's listening.
Thanks,
so
Dungeon
that's cool.
Buster.
Wyland says it is not in your question about the game, 7 Days to Die. Freak 5 says he did the Would You Rather in chat. I'll do that now. Marvel Puzzle Quest, I'm still playing that. I'm getting actually pretty damn good at that game. Like, I wish the problem I have with the game is I wish they would give you a few more like rarities, like at a higher rate. If you look at the rate drops on characters in that game, it's pretty pathetic. It's like you have a 0.3% chance of getting certain things. Although I did get really lucky and I got, they just released The Thing and I got super lucky and I got him. So I'm pretty happy about that. He's a legendary character. Legendary characters in that game are really hard to get. I have like 4 or 5 of them now. Let's see. There was something I was going to talk about in chat. Oh, the Would You Rather. Freak 5 is asking if we would rather, let me see if I can find it. If we would rather dock or dome. And for those don't know, docking is stick your dick head to have it overlap by another guy's foreskin. or don't stick your head in your partner's ass. So, oh boy, Freak Five. This is easy for me.
I'm going to go with docking because it involves me not sticking my head in someone's ass.
Stick your head in somebody's ass. Yeah.
That seems impossible anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that's – you mean like the head of your dick? Like maybe that's what he means. I don't know. If that's the case, I'll take that.
Yeah, my head's not going to fit in somebody's ass unless they're really, really fat.
Yeah. Oh, okay, here we go. The act of – according to the Urban Dictionary, the act of penetrating a partner's anus using one's head. But like their actual head? That's – how the fuck can that even – is that even possible?
I don't think that's physically possible. It's like that hentai that's like shows guys fucking the milk duct of a woman's breasts. I'm like, that's not physically possible.
No, it's not. You can't. Yeah, that's. I've never seen that. By the way, holy shit, that's.
I have. That's like not. It's just it's all drawn stuff because it's not actually possible.
But. Freak Pipe says
he's been watching the Caterpillar movie a little too much.
Oh, the
Caterpillar movie.
What do you call
human
it?
Centipede,
human
you mean?
Centipede.
I saw the first one and thought it was incredibly stupid. I haven't watched the other two.
Oh, I thought that movie was dumb too, Frank.
No, if you watch it a second time through, it's actually pretty good.
No, it wasn't.
Speaking of bad movies, I saw Subway's doing advertisements for Sharknado 3. And Sharknado 3 has an it has a subtitle, and the subtitle is called Oh Hell No.
Oh, boy.
Ironically called Oh Hell No.
Dr. Buster found...
And they're fucking embracing it. They're going with
it. See, the thing is, I think what kind of puts me off about that is that it's not the... We're making a bad movie and we're embracing it so much as we're making a bad movie and trying to be ironic about it. And I'm like, yeah,
it just doesn't work, man. I've seen both of the first two, and neither one is like B movie good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not fun. It's just bad.
Weiland says he's met some of the actors in Centipede 1 and 2, Human Centipede 1 and 2. I didn't mind either of those movies. I didn't think they were like the greatest things in the world, but I have I'm like a huge horror buff, so I have a deeper appreciation for things, I guess. I don't know. Freak Five says that Would You Rather was inspired by the Dead Bedouin podcast. They were talking about doming, so there you go. Dungeon Buster found a thread that you might find interesting, Eric. I don't know. All right.
I don't think that appreciating the Human Centipede movies has anything to do with being a horror buff. I think it has to do with liking bad movies.
No, look, I do like bad movies. Some bad movies I do like, but this movie had an artsy sense of style that I dug.
Everybody likes a bad movie. We just all deny it.
Yes, feed her, feed her. That was dumb.
Like Troll 2 was pretty good. Like that in a super bad kind of way. They even did a documentary on that movie.
I actually could not get through that.
Oh, it's so, has nothing to do with trolls. Yay.
It's so bad, it's good, man. That movie is
apparently.
I've rather consistently liked really really awful movies based on video games.
Yeah.
It's like Double Dragon. It's fucking awful. Double Dragon is so stupid. It's funny stupid.
Yeah.
Street Fighter,
but God, there was one other that I was thinking
Mortal
of.
Mortal Kombat.
No, the original Mortal Kombat. The original Mortal Kombat was an okay.
Annihilation
is fucking terrible, and I love it.
The original Mortal Kombat was pretty good.
No, those movies are terrible, man.
We replaced Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, I know. Whatever.
They replaced almost all of the cast, except for Robin Shu. And I was like,
Freak Five is exiled again.
Whatever.
Dungeon Buster says, haha, wow, Double Dragon. All right, let's move on to our Stinkos of the Week. Let's start with you. Oh, you already said yours, Eric, the Arkham Knight glitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no one seems to notice it, apparently. All right, Break, your Stinko.
Oh, my Stinko. Let me see here. I've had a long day, but my Stinko goes to my internet being out until fucking Wednesday at the earliest.
Yeah, that's why you're on your cell phone at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah. You're gross, Freak Five. That's all I'm saying. All right, Mug, your Stinko of the Week.
Well, I'm not going to go into too much detail because it's not really about me specifically, but I will just say that I know someone close to me who has PTSD, and a certain asshole did something that triggered it really badly, and now she's like severely withdrawn and can't even go outside.
Did they do that shit on purpose?
Yes, it was quite intentional.
Okay, if it wasn't intentional, then maybe there was some... you know, solace in that, but yeah, that sucks,
It was just this person being a complete dick.
Oh, what an ass. What an ass. Yeah.
And if he were closer to me, he would be hurt.
Now, triggers are real, and I know there are people that take triggers to extremes, and they aren't really triggers at all.
Oh, there's no question PTSD was real. There was a whole controversy when that
– Also, I hate it when people use No True Scotsmans when they talk about PTSDs. Like these people talk about triggers and they don't know what real PTSD. No, these people are experiencing PTSD.
Oh, you want to know what? Speaking
PTSD
of that,
is a phenomenon, and that's what PTSD. That's what the trigger terminology comes from.
The thing is,
come up with terms to make up for the fact that they're not.
Have you heard about the thing about vets?
Vets?
The thing with combat vets and the 4th of July, combat vets have these, some of them have these signs. It's like, please be courteous with fireworks.
Yeah.
And there are these people, largely conservatives, who are basically accusing these, combat veterans with PTSD of being pussies and wimps and all this other shit. Mm. Basically suck it up, leave the area, go out and do something. It's like, why should these people have to leave their homes so that you can have discourteous fun?
Here's the deal. Like, I used to have a dog way back in the day that I don't mean to compare a dog's problems with the humans, but it's the closest to me that I've ever experienced PTSD. This dog was a an Akita, right? Big dog, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful dog. War? What's that?
And you sent it to war?
No. But we got this dog.
You bastard.
And this dog was perfectly okay. And before you knew it, July 4th came around and all of a sudden this dog just snapped and like went through a fucking window to avoid – so I can imagine a human being, right? It's like that whole Cheech and Chong bit with Strawberry on Up in Smoke, where he's a old war veteran and he's driving Cheech in a motorcycle with the attachment. I don't know what they call that, like sit down attachment on the side. And he starts having PTSD and he's like, hey, grab this. If anything happens, call in the and it's a funny bit, but it's effective. It shows.
So you're saying Cheech and Chong movies are now infomercials in Colorado?
pretty much, man.
You get a lot of information from them.
Look, I've loved Cheech and Chong for years, man. I wish they would have made...
Actually, I do, too. Cheech and Chong movies are fucking great.
Yeah, they're great, man. I wish they would have made, like...
You don't have to be a pothead to enjoy them.
No, that's what I keep telling people, too. You do not have to be a pothead to enjoy those movies. They're just good movies.
Yeah.
Let's see. They're talking about a statue in chat, and I'm looking at the statue, and it looks really cool. Very expensive. Weiland is like a connoisseur of these statues, man. He knows his shit when it comes to those statues. They're expensive.
Oh,
but...
shit.
I saw a Ganondorf statue earlier today.
Yeah.
He's shown off some really cool shit that he has.
Oh, speaking of Ganondorf, I like the new amiibo Ganondorf that's coming out. It's pretty slick.
Fucking cool. Amiibos.
Fuck hate amiibos.
Yeah, Freak5 says it's called a side card. And fuck you guys. I like the way they look, man.
You like wasting money on chocolate.
Oh, get out of here. It's not wasted money.
Especially amiibos that are made in conjunction with the game to lock out content, and it's the only way to get that content.
I don't care about that.
It's expensive DLC at that point, and that's bullshit.
No, it's not bullshit because you get a figure with it. I mean, some of these figures are pretty cool looking. Like, they're not,
I kind of don't want to buy Splatoon amiibos just to play levels.
I agree with that.
Any other way.
I agree, but if you just use them as figures and you're collecting figures, I don't think it's unreasonable to pay that money. I don't. I don't think $13 is too much.
I also have to say fuck you to Nintendo for fucking up the situation.
This is way better than the EU.
If you're going to do something, do it right, even if it is bullshit.
Well, whatever.
It's way better than the e-reader, which basically you're paying for DLC.
Oh, of course.
So you got, because it was random, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I never got all the final or the Super Mario 3 stuff because it was random.
I don't know. You think Nintendo, who used to be a toy company, would understand how to sell fucking toys?
Yeah. Freak 5 says my husky hates fireworks. When they start going off, she hides in the bathroom, only room in the house
both
without windows.
Pets do. My pets will be.
Yeah, it's like, but that a thunder shirt is a good idea.
Yeah,
one of the best inventions ever for pet
yeah,
owners.
Yeah, those things work. They really do. I need to get one for
they're pricey
basket.
Though. Is the problem. I've never tried one. They're just too pricey.
Yeah, Wyland has the Ganondorf amiibo. See, they're from a fellow collector. That's cool. Like
that just proves that he has too much time
the
and not enough
with swag like that.
Yeah. Yeah. He has too much money and not enough sense. Or too many dollars and not enough cents.
Get out of here.
Yeah. He's contribute to my Kickstarter, the pay for my bills Kickstarter.
They have that. That's like a life.
I should run. I should get my Patreon up soon because my rent's gonna go up in 2 months.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, that sucks, Eric. Freak 5 says because Frank.
Well, I told you it's gonna go to one. It's gonna go to 4 to 85 by the end of by next year.
It doesn't sound unreasonable though.
Well, 4.85 is not bad for us.
But
here.
I also don't get paid a whole lot of money, so
yeah,
finances are even going to be tighter. Even though I'm saving money on gas, I'm still paying more.
Yeah.
So it's not like nothing much has changed.
Freak 5 says that's because Frank and all his Kickstarter money, I know he's exiled, he says. Okay. Self-exilation is always cool. He has no problem spending that much money on amiibos. Look. if they look good and they seem to be made very solid, like they're not going to just break, like you know, like some statues are, then
we
I think it's
like
a good
stuff
deal.
That looks cool.
Look, my wife has a whole look. Check this out. My wife has a whole corner dedicated to like Mario, like PVC figures and shit like that. We have a couple. I don't buy every single amiibo, but the ones that I think look good are up there. It looks
cool. Of
course,
she's got tchotchkes. She's a girl.
Get out of here. Dungeon Buster says Frank and those
the cave
reward
is hers.
Get out of here, break. You guys, fuck you guys. Fuck all you guys, son of bitches. All right. My stinko of the week is, you know, you guys know I've been playing Marvel Puzzle Quest. Why is Thanos not in Marvel Puzzle Quest? I think it's D3 that develops that game. Why is Thanos not in they have everybody else that you can think of. Villains, you know, they have Carnage, they have Venom, they have all the majors, Doctor Doom. They have all the worldly, like they have Sentry. They have all kinds of, I mean, almost everybody that you can imagine, but they do not have Thanos. What?
I have a question actually relates to that.
Yeah.
Do you keep up, Frank, do you keep up with like Spider-Man?
You mean the comic or?
Yeah.
No,
just in general.
I haven't.
I'm just kind of curious because like the last time they introduced a new character was right when I got out of comics and that was Venom. That I can recall. So it's like, have they introduced any like major recurring characters, like villains or allies or whatever?
You know, not that I can recall. I mean, I'm sure they have, but man, it's
because I kept hearing like basically the series, you know, the franchise kind of stagnated for like throughout all of the oddies. Essentially, was what I heard.
The oddies.
Oddies, yes.
Yeah. 80s.
No, the oddies, the 2000s.
Yeah.
Oh, because the oddies came out that year. I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't think of any major. I know that Spider-Man like is now is black. That's what I do know. Like
well,
the new Spider-Man.
Like half,
black.
No,
he's not half black. He's half
Spider-Man.
Half Hispanic, like Miles Morales. Yeah, Miles Morales.
Hispanic and black.
Yeah.
Dungeon Buster says Frank needs a terror dog. Let's see what this thing looks like.
He's the ultimate Spider-Man. There was for a while the superior Spider-Man.
I like that Spider-Man that they have in the red and yellow. That looked really slick. I thought that was.
I read
really
like
cool.
The first like 100 or so issues of Ultimate Spider-Man, and that was pretty good.
Yeah, I have a very limited edition of Spider-Man Torment. That's about a.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the McFarlane. It's a real famous cover. It's I'll put the link into chat as soon as I find it, but. No, it's just I like comic books. I have a huge collection, but I haven't ever since like the comic bust, like when they started like adding, you know, platinum covers and all that shit. I got out of it because it was just way too much. Like I couldn't afford it, but you know.
Yeah, I think I got, you know, because I used to be this massive like X-Men and X, you know, all the X series, and I was big into my actually the one that I, you know, in spite of my just general disdain for most of the, you know, the main X series, was the one that I loved was Excalibur. Remember that?
Yeah, that was cool. I remember that. Yeah.
It's like the and like, you know, with Captain Britain, you remember they had the trade paperback showed some of that. Yeah. And it's like, holy crap, this character's awesome.
Yeah. That, you know, I okay.
Captain Latin America is another character.
Image Comics. Are you serious? Mug, do you remember when Image Comics came out?
I never read any of them. I don't think I've ever read any Spawn. I've read a little bit of The Darkness, but that really didn't do much for me. I liked Spawn, the game. The game was awesome.
Yeah. Spawn is really good. Spawn had a lot of interesting things. McFarlane is a great artist. But I used to have
that cartoon for Spawn back in the 90s was really good.
The HBO one was fantastic.
Too bad it got canceled before they really did anything with the story.
I know. It was just getting really super good, and then they just canceled it. I'm like, why? That was good shit. But I had everything Image came out with for like the first 2.5-3 years. Like
I remember
everything.
It was like Wetworks was one of them.
Yeah, Wetworks was pretty good. It was pretty interesting. That was Sylvester. He did X-Force, I believe. So they had.
I thought X-Force was Rob Liefeld.
Maybe X-Force, and that's another one that went to Image. He did Youngblood, which is
fucking
good.
Rob Liefeld sucks.
Yeah, he's an asshole. Like
he's an asshole. and his art is awful.
No, I don't mind some of his art.
I can't stand it. It's just like that weird thing. It's like he doesn't draw feet, and he does all of his eyes like heavily shaded, and just the weird like inhuman proportions.
Yeah, but some people like that. Like that's just, I mean,
yeah,
that's
I get
style,
it. It's just,
you know?
I am not among their number. It just irks the shit out of me.
Like Jay Lee, right? A lot of people don't like Jay Lee's artwork, but Jay Lee.
Okay. Jay
Lee. I think we missed my other lulls. I forgot about it.
Mm. What other lulls, Eric?
I got butt dialed by Frank the other day.
No, we didn't get to that. We didn't get to that, man. You had that later.
Someone called me and using Frank's phone, I guess, by accident. And I heard lots of stuff going on, but no one picking up.
Hey, you heard lots of
Bedspring?
I was going to say, did you hear him?
No, not that kind of stuff. Like stuff like his kids reacting.
Yeah, that was my sweeto. We went to an amusement park. That's when I butt dialed you, Eric. We were at an amusement park. It was weird. It wasn't a butt dial. It was in my front pocket. I don't know if that excites you guys.
So dick dial.
Dick dial. Yeah. My huge cock dialed you up.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. That's not even remotely close to me.
That's exactly what happened, Mug, son of a bitch. I know you're fantasizing
about
that. Right,
he's going to park it. He's going to pocket the car in the Harvard yacht.
Get out of here.
First thing I have to warn with it, because apparently Frank Penis really wants to talk to Eric.
Nice.
Son of a bitch, man. You son of a bitches. Yeah, this I'll put a picture of Jay Lee's artwork in chat if I can.
He's a son of multiple bitches?
Get out of here.
Sons, you mean like maybe sons of bitches?
All right, here we go. There's Jay Lee. I forgot what the other thing I was gonna put in there. Oh, the Torment, I'll find that. Let's see, Torment, Spider-Man.
Did you ever play the Darkness, the game?
Yeah, it was good, man.
Yeah.
I never played The Darkness or The Darkness 2.
Really?
Yeah, the second one is not as good, although story-wise and voice acting-wise, it's exceptional. But the original one, it's like it took this very comic book. Yeah, you know, I went back and I looked at it. And it's like it's very 90s comics. You know, and it's cheeky. Or it's cheeky. It's just not cheeky, just cheesy is what I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, just kind of very, like, I don't know, very self-indulgent. But they took this, you know, this idea and they made it just genuinely dark and creepy. And it's like, wow, it's like this is much more like if they had adapted this to a movie, this is what a good movie would be.
Mm. Wyland says he was a huge into Wildcats. I had every – I still – I don't know.
I never really got into that show.
I had a I had a bunch of my comics stolen, so I have to look through and see what I still have left. But I liked Dale Keown. Dale Keown's one of my favorite comic book artists of all time. He used to do a lot of the Hulk issues, and I had – he did something for Image called Pit. And Pit was a cool comic. It was about an alien – if you can imagine, like – an alien that looks like Hulk but different color and had like fangs and stuff. It was cool, man. I liked it. Let's see. I put in the two links into chat there. It was Torment. I have a very limited edition of that comic that I got at an auction for $63. I think it was $63, but that thing's worth like in the thousands. Like there's only, it was like a special diamond edition that you could only get through the distributors, and it was limited to like 500, and I got it. So yeah, I haven't read Spider-Man in a long time, man. I'm not
finding like Jay Lee's art much. I'm just looking at the pictures.
See, that's the thing. You have to either like you either like it or you don't, man. It's one of those weird things.
At least in the pictures that this guy has put links to, he has this weird thing of having everyone look upwards and look, you know, really like, and it's just like the, you know, the color work is nice and the lines and everything, but just like this weird, he has this weird approach to it. It's just like makes everyone look the same, you know, not in terms of how, you know, their actual characters, but just everyone, they always seem to have this same kind of tone. Like even Deadpool looks like somber as fuck.
But that's a weird argument, because like that we could say that about movies. Like it's the same story all the time retold, you know.
Talking about stories, I'm just talking about the way he makes the characters
but
look.
That's
he's
that's
like makes everyone look like they all have the same personality, and that's like,
no, that's not true, dude. You got to read some of Jay Lee's comics, man. It's different. Like I don't know, I like Jay Lee's work. It's cool. And Jim Lee's work is fantastic. Like
Jim Lee did work on Excalibur for a good while, and man,
he did good work on Batman. He's done good work all the way around, man. He's very talented, very good. Just to back up a little bit, Dungeon Buster, I saw the Terror Dog that you posted in chat there. That's really cool. The Ghostbusters Terror Dog. That's what I need. We were talking about scaredy cat dogs. But there you go. All right, let's move on to our sweetos. Eric, I don't see a sweeto there. Do you have a sweeto this week?
No.
All right. Moria, nothing?
Nothing.
I just saw eh.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, that thing with the PTSD has rather kind of, you know, put me in a funk.
Oh, yeah. I can tell, man. Break. Do you have a sweeto?
Yes. Today I have been pretty stupid. Managed to go to the two places twice today because I'm an idiot. So let's see here. What happened is I had to go to Target to pick something up. I got to Target, looking around. I went up to the register that I wanted to purchase what I was going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Realized I didn't have my fucking wallet.
Oh, fuck. Shit.
Yeah. Ran back to my car, looked in my car. I couldn't get it. It wasn't in there. So, fuck. All right, well, I'm going to drive home and look around the house. Drove home, looked around the house. Wasn't there. So I called back to the store to see if it was there, and it was. And when I got to the store, the person who found it, not only they returned it, they returned it with my money in it.
And what?
It had my money in it, you know, still like my money, my credit cards, nothing was touched. They returned it with everything.
That's highly unusual, man. That's really,
so,
really cool.
To whoever that mysterious person was, I'll never know who it was, but I thank them very much.
Yeah.
How did they end up with your wallet if you thought you didn't have it?
Well, that's the thing. I got, when I got to Target, I realized that there was a huge hole in my pocket when I got back the second time. And to purchase what I wanted to purchase, there's a huge hole in my freaking pocket, so it must have fallen right through that.
This is why men need purses.
No, no, you do what I do. You get a chained wallet. That's what I do. I
was so flustered over not being able to find my wallet. Like from there, I went to the Cincinnati Bell to return the modem. And when I got there, I realized I didn't have the modem. So I had to go back home again to go get the modem. So I made four trips to go to two places, and it took about a quarter tank of gas. But my Speedo is definitely the person who returned my wallet.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
That's a very good one. Weiland just posted something in chat about Mad Max Fury Road as a black and white silent movie and how awesome it is. So I'll have to check that out.
I did see that as well.
Yeah, that's cool. I need to check that shit out. And I already mentioned my Speedo. We had a lot of fun. It was raining, but in the amusement, they call it Lakeside Amusement Park here, and it was fun. Wiffix and I and the kids had a good time. So, bonus, you know.
I bet your family would love Kings Island.
Well, we have Elitch Gardens here, which has like a water park and an amusement park all in one. It's the only amusement park downtown in all of the United States. And it's cool, but it's way pricey. Like Lakeside's kind of like the quote ghetto amusement park here, but it was a ton of fun. It's a lot cheaper. Just, you know, I don't know. Freak 5 is exiled. He says, what Frank doesn't mention is that Wiffix padlocks his wallet chain to his pants because he would still lose his wallet and the wallet chain. That's not true. That's not true. The wallet chains are cool, man. You should check that out, Break. It's saved me a ton of times, man. A ton of times.
Yeah. Like I need some thread and a needle to save me right now.
Well, if you would have had a chain, it would not have fallen completely out of your pants, man. Like it would have still been there. Like you would have noticed the hole, but you would have still had your wallet. But yeah, whatever. All right, and then we did that. Lulz reviews. You have Inuyasha, Eric.
Yeah, Inuyasha. Mainly it's the review for the final act, which is the last 26 episodes, I think, of the series. But I might as well do the entire series since I haven't.
Yeah, done you kind of have to explain the beginning of the series for them to understand the end.
Anyways, the series is about the way it starts off is a girl named Kagome is just. She's a normal schoolgirl doing normal schoolgirl things, but she lives with her family near a shrine that they've maintained for like generations, apparently. But one day she falls into the well that's at the shrine and it ends up in feudal Japan. But apparently this was all triggered by an event that happened in the past that was going on currently, I guess, in another dimension or something. I don't know how it all works. The show never explains it, really. But basically, what happened was that there's a backstory you learn later in the series, but there's this demon.
Yeah, this show's really flimsy on time travel.
Anyways, there was this demon named Naraku who plotted against the priestess to get him and to get the priestess and Inuyasha to kill each other because he had an enmity between the priestess and Inuyasha, I guess, and ended up with this Jewel of Four Souls thing being sent into the future, I guess, and that priestess's part of priestess's soul got reincarnated as Kagome, and she ends up with the jewel, and that's why she ended up going in the past because it apparently got recalled back there. But anyways, during an altercation with the demon, and the jewel four souls got shattered into a billion pieces, and they pretty much team up at that point to go retrieve them all. And the whole show's about them trying to retrieve them and trying to fight off Naraku.
Yeah, it basically created a vehicle for them to, you know,
make a shonen series.
Yeah, well, yeah, to pad out a series as much as they needed to, because they could always say like, "Oh, we found another shard, and it's this random filler monster." And
of course, Inuyasha gets different sword techniques. One of them involves him using his blood to turn them into blades. But it's one of his weaker techniques. But he has this really honking huge sword called the Tetsaiga. And it's the thing that evolves more than Inuyasha, and Inuyasha just uses an innate power to channel through it. Basically, your typical shonen, so it drags on for far too long. And this is something that Rumiko Takahashi has done through many of your series. But I think this one in particular takes the cake in like how long it draws itself out.
It was easily her longest running series, and it's like it largely ran out of steam.
The only series I think exceeds it is Hamtaro, which apparently is still going on, but it's not being written by her anymore.
Are you kidding me? That is still going on?
What series?
Hamtaro.
That's not a Miko Takahashi series.
It isn't?
No.
Well, she did illustrations, didn't she?
I have no idea, but that's not one of her series.
There's nothing worse than an anime that draws itself out way past its welcome.
Anyways, you know what I mean? The people have joked on the show how, like, Inuyasha and Kagome would call each other's names out to each other, and it even went so far as Tsunami making a meme about it.
Yeah, these are two people that clearly were in love with each other.
Yeah, it's like Rama and Nakane thing from.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, like they really like each other, but they can never bring themselves to admit it. And I mean,
and then there's a whole thing where they re-encounter the priestess. Kikyo, who was apparently Inuyasha's former lover before she was killed, because apparently
and Kagome is apparently her reincarnation.
Yeah. Like, I think of all of Rumiko Takahashi's stuff that my favorite of hers is very definitely Maison Ikkoku, because it's like it's good characters, it's well written, and it's compact. It's like it's 15 volumes of manga, and it tells a complete story from beginning to end. It ends, you know, in just the way it should. And even the anime was like 98 episodes, and that was it. They're very, very few of them are filler.
Anyways, the show is not as violent as the manga, apparently. The manga's
no.
Way more like violent.
Just as an example, there's a thing where there's like a jewel that's inside Inuyasha's eye. And in the anime, like, he does this thing where he basically like does a zap and he draws it out like magically. And in the manga, he just gouges right into it, grabs it and pulls it out.
How does his eye get healed after that though?
Well, apparently that's the thing. He's a demon. He heals very quickly.
Yeah. Well, and he heals wounds that normally would not be healed, I guess.
Well, he's half demon anyway.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's half demon, and lots of people give him shit for being a half demon.
Especially his full demon brother.
Mm-hmm. And
that was one thing. Like his brother Sesshomaru, as you know, they added the whip thing. Was just like, oh, that's so badass. And I was like, that was not in the manga.
Yeah,
it's like that was just something they gave him.
He had a whip like weapon.
Yeah, say this whip that was like, they made it look really badass in the anime. And I was like, that was never part of the original manga.
Anyways, there's a lot of back and forth. It's not a bad show. It just went on for way too long.
It didn't
have the best writing either.
One of the things you have to understand about anime, like manga, or rather anime that's based on manga, is that when they start, they basically have. They start recreating material from the manga, which gives them about a year of lead time before they run out and they have to start creating filler.
This is why you don't do an anime series until the series ends.
Well, the problem with
the problem with that is that it'd be hard to make money off of a property that's already done.
Yeah, you have to strike while the iron's hot.
Or then you have to make a decision whether do we go on hiatuses at certain intervals, or do we make up our own story?
Hiatuses seem to be becoming more and more of a thing in the anime industry.
Anyways,
I'm wondering, like, I saw with One Piece, like, they seem to do this filler episode. Like,
yeah, and the filler is not bad, because by the nature of One Piece, it's okay to do filler.
Yeah.
Because they're going on one big journey that doesn't end. Basically.
Well, that's kind of how Inuyasha did, because basically since they created this thing where they're collecting shards of the Shikon no Tama, the Jewel of Four Souls, then there can always be more. It's like, we don't have all of it, so here's another part, even if it's just a tiny little thing.
Yeah, but Japan's always so big, though. It's like,
yeah, I know.
But At least in One Piece, they have the entire world to explore. But yeah. Anyways, that's first part of the series ran for like about 167 episodes. Then it took like 5 years for them to finish it.
And they gained friends and enemies along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
nobody died. Nothing ever changed.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention Moroku the monk, who's a gigantic pervert and eventually falls in love with, Damn it. I can't remember. Yeah, Sango. And Sango's a demon hunter who wears this really badass ninja looking outfit.
Yeah. And this giant boomerang. She's basically Ukyo from Ranma 1/2.
Mm-hmm. And anyways, the last 26 episodes finally finished the series, and it's like, yes, this is good. They're actually getting shit done. They're not wasting time.
Yeah, these episodes were really, like, compact and to the point.
Yeah, that was one thing that kind of was interesting. Like, with Ranma, you know, the series ended, and it was after the series ended that Takahashi kind of stepped up her game with the writing. She did longer and longer stories.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, actually, you know, where stuff really happened. And, you know, this was, you know, stuff that by and large, you know, with the anime, you just didn't see. Like, you never saw the ending of the series, which took up like a, you know, one, you know, like the printed, the collected, you know, volumes, you know, took like, you know, almost two volumes, you know, just to complete the final story arc.
Anyways, the dubbing changed a little. Like, I think Kagome's voice actor changed. And I didn't like her new voice actor so much. I thought Monica's – or whoever – I think Monica Story was the name of the old one. I thought she did an okay job, and she didn't sound weird. She sounded closer to the age that Kagome actually is.
I want to change the world.
Oh, my God. All right.
Anyway, what were you singing that for?
that was the original Inuyasha anime theme song.
Yeah, but I don't think it was done in English, though.
that line was.
Okay.
It was like, I want to change the world, show me through something, something, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's like.
Anyways, I thought it was weird that the broadcast didn't bother doing any subtitling for any of the title cards. That was just, and the credits, that was just weird.
Well, I remember when Viz first got Ranma, they translated and re-recorded all of the opening and ending themes.
Mm.
Like that's something you just don't see anymore. Like,
well, Funimation usually does English dubs of the original songs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was kind of the thing. Like, I remember whoever did Bubblegum Crisis, like when they dubbed it, they actually re-recorded the songs in English, and some of them actually turned out really good.
Yeah, except let's see. I mean, despite the fact I hate or don't care about Dragon Ball Kai, they actually went and redid the song, but only they use Vic Mignogna as the song person who's singing the song, and no, he should not sing. He's awful.
I like the original, like, ultra cheesy version. That was what I really liked.
Well, it was ultra cheesy. Dragon Soul is an ultra cheesy song, and yeah, it was done by the original singer for the original.
Yeah, songs. I guarantee you
and he sang it with like passion, and it was just great. The new version just flies.
And Vic Mignogna's version is just him being awful and being pitch shifted.
So, yeah. Oh, I tell you, one anime theme song.
And it's kind of drowned out by the music itself.
Eric, let me finish.
Sorry.
One anime theme song that if the game or if the series ever did get licensed and, you know, dubbed and everything, it would never happen because it's way too violent. Would be Hokuto no Ken, you know, Fist of the North Star. Like the opening theme for that was the "You are shock," and then you are shock.
I am so out of modern anime. Like,
Fist of the North Star is not modern; it's old.
Fist of the North Star sucks.
But it's like it has an incredibly diehard fan base. If it ever happened, if they dubbed that song, it would be amazingly hilarious, and B, they would get lynched. Because the fan base is like very like unhealthily attached to that song.
Anyways, I'd give this series probably 6.5 or 7. I can't decide really. Who cares? Scores suck.
Whatever.
Yeah, so that's my thoughts on the show. And it's finally over now.
All
right. I get closure to like, what, 9 years?
It's been a long time since they finally got that ending. I can't believe like how happy of an ending it was. That kind of surprised me. I thought there were going to be more of the good guys dying and stuff, but no, pretty much everybody got out of it and got a happy ending.
Except the villains who reformed and then died.
That's kind of a Takahashi thing. It's like nothing incredibly catastrophic happens. Like, I mean, at the end of Ranma 1/2, you know, Ranma thinks Akane's dead, and he's like, you know, I never got a chance to tell you I loved you. And, you know, of course, it's like, that's not really... And it's like, you know, and then she wakes up, and it's like, you know, I heard you say you love me.
I still haven't seen the end of the series.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't say that. You almost said it. You know, and basically, this is like, and everything, the resolution of the series is that... Yeah, they agree to get married, but they're still kind of antagonistic, and things went on like that for a little while. And it's like, this, you know, the marriage is going to happen is essentially like the way it ends.
And Habosai keeps stealing panties.
Yeah, I mean, it's like nothing really changes. It's business as usual.
With Inuyasha, there is a point where, well, going through the whole anime, I think it's important to point out that Kagome is only 14 through most of the show. And he's a demon, a half demon. So he's like.
I thought she was like 15.
No, they said 14 because there's a point she has like a birthday party.
Because so she graduates at the end of the series, and yeah, so that would make her 18. But that was 3 years, so wouldn't she be 17 at that point then?
No, it was 4 years. That was the thing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's wrap this up, guys, because we got.
So
because she did spend a year and she had a birthday. Bad episodes about
Hold
that.
On, Eric. What did you say, Brake?
I'm saying there was episodes about it. So at the very end, like, you know, they finally kiss on the last episode, and they're apparently married. She's 18, and he's what, like 1,000 years old or something?
And she decided to stay in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Together.
All right. So 6.5 to 7 on Inuyasha, the ending.
Inuyasha,
whatever the fuck the name
is. They're supposed to be in the past, but nothing that happens in the past affects the future in any way.
Nope. Yeah. I wonder if she did the grandma effect. She became her own grand person.
It's like, you know, her own grand person. That's awesome.
All right, let's move on.
I don't know if her ancestor ended up being her grandpa or not.
Well. Why don't we I know that Frank and I both saw Terminator Genisys, so why don't we talk about that?
Real quickly, I'll give you my real quick impression of Terminator Genisys. I liked the movie as far as seeing it on the big screen because it had some actual really cool action set pieces that I don't think a small TV would do justice. So in that regards, I'd say go to the movie theaters to see it. The story, they fucked up the timeline of Terminator, and
I thought it was their way of getting around to the fact that it was fucked up in the first place.
No, I understand
it's time travel, which is inherently fucked up, but yeah. The thing was, it's essentially like a soft reboot. They more or less discard Terminator 3 and Salvation.
Yeah, and I liked Terminator 3. I didn't like Salvation.
So did I. Salvation, I thought was okay. I mean, like
you do.
Yeah, I didn't like.
Yeah, the only part I liked about Salvation is them explaining how Genisys was apparently responsible for the technology that led to the Terminator.
I'll say that the thing I really liked, I liked Salvation a lot on a production level because most of it was in what was done practically.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, it was done like more in the style of Terminator 2. It was CG here and there to amp up the really impressive practical work they were doing. But I would say, like, the way that I felt was watching it, the first, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, were kind of like, you know, a lot of shit's happening, but I don't feel like there's any stakes for it. It's almost like, this almost feels like it would benefit from, like, a Netflix, like, Daredevil-type series, like, if they had a chance to give everything room to breathe.
Yeah. I agree with that. That was one of the observations I was making after watching it. It could have been a better series.
I can't remember the guy's name. I liked the Korean guy as the T-1000.
Yeah.
He really kind of captured a lot of that same like weird, dispassionate look.
Supposed to be Robert Patrick's character?
Yeah, well, no.
He was just a T-1000.
Okay.
But there, if you and who for anyone listening, if you haven't seen the third trailer,
don't watch it because it spoils like the biggest surprise in this.
I saw it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's like that makes three movies out of this out of five where the trailer has spoiled the what would be the twist.
Yeah.
But I thought that once the twist occurs, that was when everything ramps up a lot.
Yeah,
and that's when everything started really getting interesting. And like by the time
I never did watch the TV series. Does it have anything to do with the TV series?
I don't think so.
I really like the TV series.
I haven't seen the TV series, and I keep thinking, like, I really should go back and watch it because I always heard good stuff about it.
The TV series is good. To me, the writer
of
this...
It ended on a huge cliffhanger, though, so that's a huge warning if you want to get into
it. It got canceled, you know, and that was like, there's not really much they can do about
that. So it ended on a huge cliffhanger. They had big plans for the next season, but that never happened.
The problem that I had with Genesis was the fact that Patrick Lussier wrote it, and he's not a very good writer or director. I'm surprised they went with this script. Like I understand he's tried to weave like a new kind of alternate timeline with the whole Terminator world, but at times it was just a bit choppy. The pacing was great in the movie, though. That's one thing that I give.
And I will say, like, the, you know, for those who haven't seen it and have not seen that third trailer, don't watch it. The new antagonist was very impressive. And some of the shots they got, some of the effects work and everything, just weaving it into the action.
Oh, it was great.
I thought, you know, some really fantastic action direction. Because I know that when they showed initial previews, there was like, these effects look really bad.
There's a helicopter chase scene in there that is fantastic.
That was actually one of the things that's like, it's really kind of stretching credibility. It's like, I can deal with time travel. I can accept that as part of the that's just kind of part of the way this works. But it's like these weird maneuvers that a real helicopter would not, you know, hard pressed to make. It wasn't like, you know, this isn't taking me out of the movie, but I will say that by the time, the one little thing, and Frank, you'll know what I'm talking about with the pool of liquid metal.
Mm-hmm.
They give a little, Arnold gives this one line hint as to what's going to happen. It's like, I caught that. I know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, like the last line, he says to Sarah, before like everything starts up, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I actually kind of felt something there. It's like I've reached a point where I care about these characters to enough to like empathize with that. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. I was like, and the very fact that I'd reached that point, I was like, you know, I'm actually overall pretty pleased with it. It starts off weak. It starts off like it's really big and bombastic and everything, but it's like it doesn't give any, this was the part where I thought it would benefit from a longer form, but it doesn't give any context for what's happening. And it's like, knowing what I'm very familiar with the previous movies, but the fact that it just felt like everything was just kind of chaotic. But it's like once it kind of kicks into, like it kind of gets up into second gear, and then it, you know, just ramps up from there. And I was like, okay, yeah, I actually really like this.
I don't like the casting choices for Kyle Reese and
Jack Courtney.
And the other guy, the main character, her son. What's his name?
John Connor.
Yeah, it was odd casting choices for those two, in my opinion.
I could see maybe a little bit with Jai Courtney as Kyle Reese. I didn't have any issues with the guy playing John Connor.
I did. He's just not tough enough. When I look at that guy, I think I look at him and I see like a funny character. You know what I mean?
I kind of like the fact that he was kind of unassuming.
Yeah, I know.
You know, one weird thing that Weiland says Jack Courtney is awful.
Yeah,
I agree. I've never seen him in anything else. I thought he did an okay job.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, like, you know, the thing, when you see the little holographic projection of like the personality of Skynet, you know, mm-hmm. when I first saw that, this was the thought that that was going through my mind. Is that Matt Smith? No, that's not Matt Smith. Okay. No, that's not Matt Smith. It looked kind of like him though. It's really, and again, at certain angles, it really looks like Matt Smith. Okay. Moving on.
You know, they, and what I thought too was that the CG is some of the best that I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, especially... but I mean, it's just after the, I mean, especially after like the really, like you were seeing like, you know, mid-range, you know, CG, like with some of the things where you saw like, after he dispatched the Terminator, the T-1000, yeah. He's like, you know, there was a shot of that in an early preview where it's like, that arm does not look like it's blended at all. In the actual film, it looks fantastic.
Really good. Yeah, they did some good work there. Like, post-production work on that was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, especially with the younger Arnold, I hope that's
not spoiled. Oh my God, yes. When I saw that, it was just like, okay, like when they showed him in, when they showed the young Arnold in Salvation, I was like, wow, that looks really good. But it's like, there's never anything really major going on with it. But then they did facial animations and these really close, lingering close-ups on him.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy crap, yeah, it's like it's right there.
Look, I remember, and Mug, you might appreciate that, this. I remember probably 10, 15, maybe even 20 years ago talking about how CG – eventually you'd be able, like, getting old as an actor would be no big deal because they could just CG anything. I think we're almost to that point, man.
Like, well, it's hypothetically, but that's the kind of thing that, you know, cost, like, for, at least for the time being, costs a shitload of money.
Oh yeah, but no, I mean, it's getting cheaper and cheaper though, man.
Oh yeah, that's, but I mean, it's like, to do effects on a level that Genesis did, that's, you know, that's a big investment.
Yeah.
But I think in Genesis's case, it really worked.
Jai Courtney was terrible in that Die Hard movie, by the way.
I haven't seen it. I've only seen Live Free or Die Hard, and I'm like the only person I know who liked that movie.
Yeah.
The unrated version is much better.
Yeah, that Kyle Jai Courtney's just not very good in general. I don't think he's a good actor at all. But all right, let's move on. What would you give it on the scale of 10?
Me, I would say probably around a 7.5.
Yeah, see, I'd probably give it like 6.5, 7. That's above average.
I mean, like, it's kind of depending on like what, like, it starts off as like 6.5. Yeah. Then it's like, okay, 7 and 7.5.
It does get better.
Probably ends on around an 8.
You know, I do like some of the twists that it took, but like I said, Patrick Lussier, he should just not write movies. He's done some horror movies in the past, and he's just not a very good writer.
I'll say this: he's no Brett Ratner.
I think that's actually a fair comparison, man. Like I just don't like Lussier's writing at all, man.
I don't know any other movie. I haven't seen any other movies.
He did Boogeyman and just a bunch of shit, man. Like, I don't understand how this guy gets gig after gig. I could write better than Lussier. Trust me, I could. All right, let's go on to the free-for-all real quickly, Eric.
One last thing before we move on to the free-for-all. I was going to say, I saw it in 3D because I missed the start time of the regular one. So I went ahead and was like, okay, I'll watch it in 3D. I was like, it's okay. Yeah. But I did see, like, you know, they go through like fucking 20 minutes of trailers, and then it's like, put your 3D glasses on now. And then they showed some 3D trailers. Mm-hmm. And there was one that was like, just the CG – and the nature of it, I was like, the 3D effects in it looked really good in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'd normally have no interest in this series whatsoever. The movies are fucking terrible. Was the Paranormal Activity, it's like the Ghost Dimension or whatever.
Oh, see, I saw that and I was not...
Ghost Dimension.
Yeah, I was not really impressed. I was going to ask somebody that... I'm glad you saw it in 3D because I knew there was a 3D like movie, like made for 3D type deal. And I was not impressed because I didn't see the 3D version like I normally would because of the times. But,
well, I would not be interested in watching the movie if it weren't in 3D. Mm-hmm. But the 3D – and this is one of those cases kind of like Avatar where the 3D really kind of added something like, ooh, wow, that's impressive.
Maybe that's the way to see that movie because I was not impressed with the trailer at all. Like, at all.
I mean, it's like you just see the 3D version.
Yeah.
The new Paranormal Activity. I was like, it's not a movie. I'm like, oh, I need to see that.
Well, I'm talking about like, Genesis.
I wouldn't bother with the 3D in Genesis, to be honest. I mean, it was okay. It was nice in points, but it didn't really add a lot.
Yeah. See, as an avid 3D guy, I didn't see anything in Genesis that would make me want to see it in 3D. So
that's kind of how I felt about it. Avengers 2.
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good in 3D, Avengers 2. But what do I know? I just like 3D movies. But all right.
Let me ask you, is this is Genesis a movie that I need to see on a big screen?
Yes.
I would say it's worth going to see on a big screen.
Not because it's the greatest story in the world, Blake, but because the action pieces are just too big for...
And the action pieces are worth watching on a big screen, and the CG is like fucking
crazy. The CG is incredible. Okay. It's incredible.
It is some of the best CG I've ever seen.
I would venture to say it's up there with Avatar. I don't have any problem saying that.
Yeah, there was one bit toward the end where he's got that arm with the laser things on it, and he's like slicing at the enemy with him. It's like... Holy crap, that's really cool.
Yeah, no, there was some good set pieces in there for sure, man. Yeah. It's worth seeing Break at the theater. I would say it's not getting good reviews because, like I said, I think it suffers from writing issues. But
I also think that there's this like almost irrational love for Terminator 2. Mm. You know, which
Terminator 2, it wasn't that good.
And irrational hatred for 3.
No, yeah, I mean, the thing is, Terminator 2, like, it was a good movie, but it also treads a hell of a lot of the same ground as the original.
And
it has Edward Furlong, who
that's true. He sucks.
He really drags the movie down.
Not only that, but it also has just a lot of chase scenes. It's very chasey and
which is fine if they do, and they did it right in that movie.
The chase scenes were really good.
And T3 tried to do the same thing as 2, and didn't set itself enough apart from it.
The thing is, I will say one thing that Genesis stands out for,
and it kind of invalidates the message of the second film anyway.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, one thing in T2 is like it had its, you know, humor moments. Most of them fell kind of flat, in my opinion. The jokes in T3, they landed a lot better.
Yeah.
The jokes in Genesis landed as well as the jokes in T3, I thought.
See, Weiland says it right. He said he had zero expectations for Genesis. I'm the same way. I didn't have any expectations. I liked 1, 2, and 3. Those are, you know, that's a seminal trilogy. I dug every one of those movies in their own right.
But the thing is, for me, I also have a shitload of love for T3. Even if I hated every other aspect of it, it's the last movie that Stan Winston worked on physically.
Mm.
And like his design for the T1 and like these.
You mean TX, you mean?
No, the T1, like the big tank like things that. And those things were like, those were designed by Stan Winston. And, you know, the building was overseen by him. And it's Stan Winston at the top of his game. And, you know, and it's like, it's a fitting tribute. It's a fitting capstone to his work as a production designer.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, even if you hate every other aspect of it, you watch it and it's like, you can't deny how good his work
is. I liked 3. I think 3 is vastly underrated in that series. Yeah.
And actually, I mean, and I said this on Twitter, you know, my controversial opinion is like, I actually kind of preferred T3 over T2.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean,
I really like the ending of the third one.
Yeah,
I was just like, you know, and a lot of people were like, "Oh, it's such a downer." It's like it's totally shifted from the first two. And I was like, I like that. I like the whole fatalistic science fiction thing.
Yeah. All right, real quickly, Eric, what's our free for all topic for today? I know we're not going to get too far into it, but it's an interesting
concept. Shouldn't we just save it for next week then?
Yeah, I guess we could save it. We're going to be talking about social
justice. We'll mention what we're going to talk about at least.
Yeah, we were this week going to talk about social justice, the anime.
Rather, social justice warriors, the term.
Well, yeah.
I'm a social justice mage, thank you. Area of effect spells.
Exactly. Weiland says it makes him angry that they canceled the Terminator TV show because that would be too confusing with Salvation coming out.
Mm.
Yeah, Salvation, I didn't like Salvation so much.
I never saw Salvation because I heard it was bad. Everybody told me how bad it was. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go out.
It's not very good. Like, it's a good movie to watch on cable.
The television show was great. It was really well done.
Yeah.
But it ends on such a huge cliffhanger. So,
yeah.
The fact that they canceled it, it's like, oh, you can't. This show's complete limbo now. What the hell?
You know what the best thing about Salvation was? Was this came out of it? Hold on, here we go.
Uh oh,
see if I can find it.
Oh no,
I'm afraid now.
I know he's
your fucking lights down.
Here we go.
In the middle of a scene, then why the fuck are you walking right through? Ah, da 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 da, like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you? What don't you fucking understand?
Yeah, this was the thing that actually killed my crush on.
You got any fucking idea about? Hey, it's fucking distracting having somebody walking up behind.
Goddamn Batman. Okay.
I've talked about this rant before. Like, as an actor, I could see why he was as upset as he was, but he.
Yeah, but it's it's you don't take your shit out on a working stiff.
Yeah, but.
It's like a mistake. A mistake is a mistake. You know, it should be like, shit, I'm sorry, I won't do it again.
Yeah, but
that should be the end of it.
Look, the guy wasn't apologetic about it, though. That's the thing. He's a professional. He should know better. So,
well, Bryce, it's like the thing
is in the middle of the fucking scene. Give me a fucking answer.
To be fair, it's like when someone's sitting there bitching you out. I mean, your first response is not necessarily going to be, contrite.
I actually give Christian Bale a lot of credit for that rant because he has some balls. Like you said, Mug.
It doesn't take balls to be a dick.
If I'm on set, being a dick. Look, yeah, if this guy is bitching at me like that, I'm not going to let him bitch at me like that. Fuck that. I'm with you, Mug. I would be like...
Yeah, I'll give props to the prop guy or whatever it was, the lighting guy, who was just like, yeah, whatever, you're get it out, be done with it, and we'll go on with our lives.
Right.
I mean, because I've had to deal with that working customer service for years.
Yeah.
I hope it was fucking good because it's useless now.
He's still playing it.
Yeah. Yeah, see, but look, there's a lot of behind the scenes things. I've interviewed a lot of people behind the scenes of movies and been an actor myself and stuff like that. Like, it really is hard to get a scene right, like, especially in movies. Like, everything kind of has to be perfect. You have to be in that mode.
Big budget movies, especially. I would say, though, if you have a chance, check out the special edition the special features and stuff on Terminator Salvation, because even with movies I've hated like Pearl Harbor, the special edition, or rather the behind the scenes stuff on that, is fucking outstanding, because just seeing like how they did stuff, like the Arizona turning over, like they actually built the first third of the ship.
Yeah, see, I don't like stuff like that. I like director's commentary. I love stuff like that. But when they ruin the magic of movies for me,
that pulls me in farther.
I don't like it. I like it. It's like magic tricks. I don't like to know how they do magic tricks. Like, to me, that's as close to magic as we'll ever get. Movies and magicians. And I don't want to know the trick. I don't want to know the trick.
Do you want to know that Santa's not real?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Santa's not
real. For fuck's sake, man, you're amateur.
Neither is the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny.
Look, he's talking about you guys.
Hey, no, neither is the Tooth Bunny or the Easter Fairy, guys.
Look, check this out. Look, Christian Bale's talking about amateurs, you guys here. Look.
Look, G, you got fucking something to say to this prick? Well, somebody should be fucking watching and keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, somebody should be keeping an eye on that guy.
Is he British?
Saying that to the director.
Like, I'm getting yelled at by Christian Bale.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck you do?
All right, guys.
Stand here.
That's
being
about
yelled
it.
At by fucking Chris, bad Batman. What are you doing? Right.
He should have did it in his Batman voice.
Swear to me!
Yeah, right.
Tell me where to find rabbits.
Right. Do I get in your fucking scene? Do I mess with your lights?
You know? Like, I don't come to your place of work and knock the dick out of your mouth.
All right, guys, that's about it for this week. Mug, let's start with your plugs, please.
All right, you can find me at Moria Mug on Twitter. It's MoriaMug.
And that's all he's got every week.
That's all I got.
He doesn't like books, movies. He just plugs himself
Go check out Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, at the theater, I would say.
And my closing comments, I finally saw Mad Max Fury Road, and I was not as impressed with it as I thought I would be.
Oh, I thought you told us this last week.
That's blasphemous, man.
I saw it last weekend.
All right, Eric, your plugs.
Plug would be my reviews at the sites I always mention, especially this week, Boston Master Brigade and TotalEGN.com. But there's also GameTactics.com and Scammers.com and VogNetwork.com.
Yeah, make sure you check out Eric's reviews. They're pretty insightful.
And there's my YouTube page, Funny T-Man. There's my blog with only like two entries, Apostle Gamer. And you can find me on Twitter at EricRPG.
All right. That it?
Oh, yeah. I hope to do a – I'm hope to get around to doing another snack review.
Yeah, there you go. You should write snack reviews. Freak5 says he plugs Mrs. Breakman. So, Breakman, that leads right into your plugs.
I plug Wiffix.
Yeah, get out of here. You do not, sir.
I would.
You would if you had the chance.
And I'll bet you she'd let me.
Yeah, right. That's about the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Cry more, little bitch.
Not only would she let you, she would handcuff Frank and make him watch.
Yeah, there we go.
She would handcuff you guys like on a pole outside and let you listen to us, maybe. That's about it.
Yeah, all right, Frank. I haven't done that before.
You keep telling yourself that, little man.
Get out of here, son of a bitch. little man is not me, son of a bitch. You're mistaking me for Freak 5 Chaos, son of a bitch.
I know he's a little man, and I have strong suspicions about you.
Yeah, you keep on having those suspicions. Freak 5
Chaos never knows where I live.
Right. Here. All right, Break. Your turn.
I'd like to plug America's birthday. Happy birthday, America.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
My favorite holiday. I fucking love the 4th of July. I love blowing stuff up.
Let's hear it for another 100 years of enslavement, genocide, and general racial inequality.
Woo! Right.
Woo-hoo! I hope I can find a McDonald's that's actually open.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll be open. McDonald's is usually open on 4th of July.
Because I like getting breakfast.
What else, Break? Anything else?
Follow at, let me see here, Break_man at RP Grinders and at self. And his underscore.
I forgot my name.
Oh, do you know that Pizza Hut's selling a hot dog crust?
That's fucking gross.
That is gross.
There's nothing. I was like, this. You know what would make this pizza really great? Cheap American sausage. Yeah, garbage sausage. With red hair.
At least make it brats, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Like with brats, that actually might be pretty awesome. Or better yet, you want to make it really weird?
That'd probably make it too expensive, though.
No. Eric, you know what would make it really weird? Breakfast links.
Breakfast links. Hot links. There you go. All right, Break, is that it?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of breakfast links.
Ooh, there's an idea. Chorizo.
Ooh.
Or andouille.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, andouille's fucking awesome.
I'll eat them. I'm just not big.
And chorizo, for sure.
Stewie.
You guys just want
my andouille is like a French. It's like a French hot sausage. Mm. It's really good.
Okay, my plugs. Check out Terminator Genesis. Like I said, the story's not the greatest in the world.
Is it worth $5.75 or is it more worth $5?
No, it's worth either. I'd say it's worth
the theater and Mentor has $5 matinees all day, but I have to go a certain time on the local theater here to get $5.75.
Let's put it this way.
Is it worth
driving like 20 minutes to Mentor?
Yeah.
Okay, let me put it this way. I spent like – it was like a 10 and change for a 3D ticket, and I didn't feel ripped off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, see. All right.
Is it worth me sneaking in the back door, crawling on my hands and knees past security?
That sounds like a personal problem.
Opening the door and hoping nobody catches me and then finding
it. It is totally, totally worth that.
Yeah, totally worth that.
And tell us the story of your incarceration next week.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to call us through the jail. Right. They'll let you keep your phones and do the show.
And I just want to plug a couple more things. WickedRadioNetwork.com.
I'm sorry, but I really, really, really have to do a podcast tonight. Yeah. You don't understand. My one phone call is going to take about 2 hours.
Shit. All right. Couple quick plugs. WickedRadioNetwork.com. Ton of new shows on the network thanks to the powers that be. And rumor has it that there will be rumor has it that there will be a new episode of Werewithal coming out very soon. I don't know. Just little birdie told me that the episode's coming out. All right. That's about all we got for this week. Thanks to the chatters, not Moria, Wylan, Freak 5, Dungeon Buster, Gripper was in there for a short time. I didn't think he wanted to get spoiled on Terminator.
Okay, and from Freak 5 Chaos, Frank is plugging himself.
Get out of here. Son of a bitch exiled. And that's about it for this week. Stay safe this weekend. It's 4th of July if you're in the United States.
Stay off the roads if you can, seriously.
Yeah, don't drink and drive, all that stuff. You know, the preachy shit that really does make sense. And that's about it for this week. Take care.
Also, don't pretend to be gay to learn how to fight homosexuality.
Yeah, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you guys here back next week. We are out.